did you know that Facebook turned 20 2 days ago, which is just mad if you think about it? Hello, Morris. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Are we making instant futures? It's extraordinary, isn't it? 20 years ago.
I know it is. And when you think about it, it just started as a bulletin board for mates, basically.
Oh, it started off as a bit more than a bulletin board. It was a pickup board for mates.
Here we go. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
It was half, I mean, good. The story goes, it's half truth, half fiction, but it's the best story that there is going around. Zuckerberg and his mates were at Harvard University doing what men might do at university, trying to find other people that were available. They weren't really happy with the usual way of going about it. They were a bit of a techno nerds and decided they were going to find some other way that they could figure out who was on campus, what they were up to, what they were doing and where they were and be able to share information.
Right.
And that's Facebook.
Well, I'm just thinking, so 2004... there were already sites doing the rounds at the time, Friendster and stuff like that. Did they bounce off the back of that, or were they totally independent?
They were totally independent and totally. They came at it from a very, very different angle. A lot of those other apps were things that evolved over time.
Pages, Morris. They weren't apps.
Well, Pages, yes. Sorry. You're right. So they were websites that had already been around. They just, you know, they tinkered with it around the edges. They kind of built on. This was the first purpose-built social media app that took the world by storm. There were other ones around, but this really started. I mean, it's hard to remember a time when it didn't exist, but yet it only seems like a minute ago that it did. This was also a time that was pre-internet for a lot of people. Didn't mean it wasn't around, but most people were still not using it, and they certainly were not using it on their mobile device.
And most people didn't own...
Just making phone calls.
Still, I suppose, didn't necessarily have laptops and stuff. And there were the very early Palms and stuff, which didn't go anywhere near this, of course.
Yeah, but again, that wasn't for this audience.
No, I don't know.
I mean, you know, my Palm, my HTC and the Compaq and all of those things I had really didn't do much with Facebook in those very early days. So it was a complete departure from anything that we had thought before. And we were not as connected in the sense of one-to-one before either. We were still catching up by phone. We were still sending letters, you know, telegrams for those who remember.
And we still wondered what all the letters on our phone keys were for. Didn't we?
We did. I actually had a discussion with somebody else in the office a couple of days ago. We were looking at the old Nokias going back about 20 years or so ago, and they were talking about how difficult it must have been to send. I mean, this was, of course, somebody who wasn't really around in those days. How difficult it must have been to send messages. And I remind them, nobody ever did. I mean, it didn't matter. We were actually only making phone calls on them and playing a bit of snakes and doing other things.
I think I'm going to go back another 10 years because certainly I remember in Hong Kong people had these clunky mobile phones with rubber aerials and they were the ones that had A, B, C, D, E, F. You're like, what? When you look at your keys.
Yes. Yeah, they did. They were those halcyon days we talk about now. You know, looking at them, living through them, they weren't halcyon days. They were devil on earth type stuff, new and unusual and a bit intimidating.
You know, talking about companies, Morris, I think the big name then was Ericsson. I mean, we should look at some of these companies where they went one day because they were more than just companies. They were the company, weren't they?
They were. Nokia was the big one around in those days.
Oh, yeah.
So Nokia was definitely the number one around the world. Ericsson was close by. Samsung was a vast difference. iPhone had yet to come out.
Oh, no kidding. So, 4 more years?
Yeah. So we're talking about that kind of an era. And this thing really took off. I mean, today we've had bigger examples of things taking off, like ChatGPT. But in its day, this took off like proverbial wildfire.
I wonder, Morris, what the boys, who you said were just trying to pick up young ladies or whatever, actually did that really turned the corner. Because as we mentioned, there were a few kind of sites there. Was it just that they were really clever and really sneaky and devious as well?
No, it goes back to user experience. They made it really, really easy for people to be able to talk about themselves, which is something that was just starting to happen.
True.
They made it really, really easy for people to share information and to receive information. You didn't need to have, it didn't matter what phone you were on, not, as we said, didn't matter because a lot of people didn't have a phone, but it didn't matter what phone, didn't matter what platform you were using, didn't matter if you were Apple or whatever. Anyone, anywhere, as long as they downloaded the app, or they went onto that website, they could use this thing. And that was its big, big advantage point. Also, it started young. It started amongst the people that wanted to be able to share their information, didn't have such a sense of privacy as some of us worry about today, were happy to share and to find out and to know about and to make arrangements in. And that was a relatively new cultural phenomenon as well, looking for a home.
Yeah, that makes a sense. I mean, you were mentioning that 4 years later, along came the iPhone. I mean, is there any way that Zuckerberg could have really put two and two together and thought that down the line this is where it's going to be and we'll be on there? I'd say 50-50, yes.
I'm not so sure that he could see what today was going to bring him 20 years on. And I'm not even sure that they were all that interested in being that big and audacious in the very early days, because I imagine they were just, you know, blokes in their apartment trying to do what blokes were trying to do. But eventually it cottoned on to him. And he says this, you know, in the first few months, because of the uptake and because of the viral nature of it online. Remember, again, social media didn't exist. Internet was slow, all those things. But yet it had a huge audience immediately. That's kind of what got them excited about this being something much larger than what they had thought it might be before.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, let's get to some of the questions that you asked me when you wrote to me this morning. You were talking about essentially what kind of future does Meta have. You're talking about how do they compare to other social media out there these days. I suppose another question is, do you think they've lived their life? Have they done the natural span?
I think Facebook has lived its life. I don't think the company called Meta, which owns it, has. Now, you know, putting it into context, as of last month, literally the stats from 2 weeks ago, globally 62.3% of the world used some form of social media.
Okay.
That's huge. When you look at Hong Kong, the stats again from late last year talk about 89.9% of people in Hong Kong use some form of social media. And about 2 hours per day is what the average person spends across the planet. So we're talking about a lot of people spending quite a significant amount of time online in one of these spaces. Now, to the question of Facebook, Facebook, as in Zuckerberg and all those people around him, have known for the last 5 years or more that what it was not what it could be in the future or going to be. Mm. It was really, really popular. Lots of kids were in it. As soon as parents and grandparents started going into it, all the kids disappeared.
That's true.
And that's natural. That's natural for every social media site. I don't want to be anywhere where my parents can hear what I'm saying, or my grandparents even. So they start to leave in droves. So what it has now is this kind of middle-aged legacy, a group of people who are active and vital because it is the largest website on the planet. We can't take it away from largest app social media-wise on the planet. It's number one. It doesn't matter where you go. Number one by a significant amount. So it's kind of morphed out. When you put Instagram and Facebook, which are two other large social media sites owned by Facebook or Meta, the big company, they are 1, 2, and 4 in the world.
So they're not that stupid, are they?
So he has 3 out of 5. I mean, I know that I'm throwing numbers around here, sure. But he has 3 out of 5 of the largest social media sites on the planet under his umbrella of Meta.
And so he can do the spread, the demographic spread.
And that's exactly what he's playing at. That's the long game that he's playing at, which is why Facebook, you know, and why they bought WhatsApp and why they went into Insta and why they're looking at all sorts of other things, because they know that what it used to be, again, just can't be, won't be, makes no sense anymore. And what they need to do is fraction it up. In other words, bring out all sorts of new bits and pieces for us to play in and want to be in.
Well, let's stick with Facebook because that's the birthday boy, girl, or they. Do you think it's had its day in general for whatever reason? The one thing from the end user point of view that always comes up is I hate being swamped by ads. Now, I know it's a business model, but if the person opens their phone, they just get bombarded. They're like, forget this.
That's going to change anyway over the next few years. So the ads are going to become, you know, with this thing about AI that we keep talking about, not that we're not going to have them, but they're going to be much more surreptitious. They're actually going to be hidden more. Mm. They're going to appear inside things. So we'll be looking at a picture, for instance, and it will have a picture of Kellogg's or of Morris or something else in the images. So they will become less obtrusive in some ways, not better or worse. I think we'll still be annoyed by them, but that will change. But what Facebook knows is that it needs to change its course, and it has. One of the wonderful comments I've heard and I like to repeat often is that, you know, within 15 years or so, there will be more people that are deceased on Facebook proper than there are alive. And that's because their legacy is still there, but they are not, meaning that many people now are of that vintage baby boomers plus who are there because they got there somehow over the last 10 years or so, kids, families or whatever. They're not likely to change. For them, it makes sense. They'll remain there, but that's it. And when it comes to new uptakes, they're not going into Facebook proper. I know, so it was number one in the world, but they're not going to Facebook proper. They're going to one of the other products, or they're using one of the bits and pieces inside of it, whether that's Marketplace or one of the other bits and pieces that they have.
Mm. Is it possible, again, that they have just too many bits and pieces? I'm trying to keep it really end user here and listen to what people grumble about.
It is most probably so, but we are social media now. We are social media fiends. I think it's difficult for us to for it to disappear. I don't believe it will continue in its current format. It will not be, it will not be in apps. It will not be in websites. It'll be part of a communication that we have, a general communication.
But we do. I mean, it's very general, isn't it? Already.
It is, but what it is, and getting more so, it's kind of like what's called, it's kind of like a board that we have, and in that board, communication board, there are lots of different things that we get. So we get some emails, we get some LinkedIn, we get some Facebook, we get some bits and pieces, and we see it on our dashboard. That's kind of the future that we're going into, a dashboard that has all of our communication bits and pieces in it. Some of it will come through different sites and different places. That's where we are, and that's kind of what makes sense now, because that's what most of us want. In business, we already have them. They're called a CRM, a centralized relationship manager, that brings all our communication into one place. We'll start to get those more and more in our own lives, which won't devalue Facebook or LinkedIn or any of the others, but it will make them a conduit of information rather than the main source. And they're fighting against that. They want to do the exact opposite. They want you to use them as your main source of information, funnel everything in through their particular apps or sites or whatever it is they have.
Interesting the way they're sort of shaping it in, you know, years to come. But I wonder if, like with most things, they grow and they grow and they grow, and then they get past the point of no return when they've kind of lost their focus, but there's not much anybody can do about it.
And Zuckerberg's been accused of that in the last year or two. I mean, it's only, what, 2 weeks ago that the American Senate took him to task and made him apologise.
Yeah,
I think that was
massive.
Last week. I thought that was the most banal, silly thing they could ever do. And he was apologising just for it to stop. But I don't know what he was apologising for that would have made any sense. But nevertheless, yes, lots and lots of people like to take a stick to him and to Musk and to others. It's not just him. It's that billionaires club of people that seem to flout their ability to do whatever they want because they have such a large share of market ears. And that is what seems to be irritating most people.
There seems to be a notion from people who are critics, I suppose, or users and critics of Facebook, that it's just not accountable. It says, tell us this, tell us that, tell us the other, does nothing about it. And, of course, people get naturally infuriated.
They do. In Australia, we've tried to bring legislation in over the last year or so. We believe we're going to tighten that. And that, again, goes to your point. A lot of jurisdictions around the world have done the same. Facebook has argued that it's no more than a bulletin board. It's, you know, it doesn't provide the information. It doesn't send the information.
Yeah,
it just stores it. And people. Well, it is. It is a technicality, but, and I'm not for a moment forgiving or forgetting what they've done, but it's really difficult when you're that large and you are the number one and literally you have, you know, 80% of the world's population of people who are on social media on your sites to govern and to control it all day, every day, and to stop things that most people would look at and say that shouldn't have gotten through. I'm not forgiving them. There are things they can do which they should be doing, and I believe they will be doing. But it's not as easy as you and I just, you know, stopping something. You and I have control. We can turn off the lights, throw a brick through it, or do something else. It's in front of us. We're aware of it. We do something. It's really difficult for these huge giants to jump on something as quickly as we, the public, would like them to do it.
Let's go back to one of your premonitions, which was the politicization or politicization via social media. And Facebook's been accused of this many, many times. Has the genie come out of the bottle on that level?
Oh, it absolutely has. But it goes back to Barack Obama, because one of the things that he said when he got into power, a lot of people said about him, was he was the first president to be elected on the back of social media.
Ah, 2008.
Yeah, because for the first time, social media was used as a force to...
Oh, hang on, Morris, sorry. Is that in any way a coincidence that was... I think that was the year the iPhone came out, was it?
No, because the iPhone would have been too early in its day. This was still when people... I mean, too early for most people. It was still expensive, cumbersome, and, you know, what? Why would I do it? People were still very, very much online on their screens in Facebook and other places, but very heavily into into the online space. But he credits, and so do most of his strategists, social media as being the platform that lifted him up above what his predecessors were able to do. You need to, again, look at the elections we're about to have in America and elsewhere. Trump does an incredible, has an incredible ability across social media to get his message across. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about how many important elections, important because they're countries that have large populations and are able to influence the globe, not just their own local geography.
Yeah.
How many of those countries, the US, India, are all going to have elections this year, and I believe will all be influenced by social media in some way or other.
All right then, little exam question for you. What do you feel is the strength of Mark Zuckerberg? What do you think is his magic?
I'm not so sure with Zuckerberg. I want to say it's his ability to be a visionary, but I don't often see that from him. I think what Zuckerberg has is tenacity, and he's got this ability to believe, which is not unusual for him, that he's right and he has the money now and the power to make it go through.
Right.
He seems to be very dogged. When he wants something, when he goes for it. Now, remember, that we've had a couple of clunkers. He talked about the metaverse last year, and we talked about it too, and how important that was going to be to the
future. Jobs had a few clunkers as well. I guess you have to, don't you?
They all have, but he went out on a limb, a really long limb, and it's been cut off as well, saying that this was the next big thing. He was putting billions of dollars into it, and so far it's been a turkey. Nothing's come of it. So it's not that he's able to predict things. It's able that he is able to get the message into the marketplace, make people aware of it, and hopefully enough people will share his vision or drink the Kool-Aid.
I mean, that is often the question. What is it that a certain person has and that makes something very special? And sometimes, you could say the same about Einstein. Apparently the guy couldn't even get a job in a shoe shop when he was a young boy, but then he changed the future of the world.
He could. You're right. And it comes down to charisma, I think. We've talked about P.T. Barnum quite a few times.
Sure.
Used him as the example. And we're talking about the romantic notion of what he was able to do, and that is to sell a message. And we see that some of these billionaires in these places do. I don't think Zuckerberg actually has that ability. I think, when we're talking about it, it's really more about Elon Musk and Bezos, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But Facebook was the first big brand, I would say, in this space that touched all of our lives. Everybody started to talk about where they were having coffee. And that changed.
Does anybody
change the world?
Still know why? No. I mean, is the answer because we can? I guess.
I think it is because we can, and it was the first time that we could actually talk about ourselves online. That was culturally acceptable to do it, and we could run our own broadcast. That was the important thing. That for the first time ever, everybody could broadcast their lives and see other people's lives whenever and wherever they wanted, and that wasn't easily or inexpensively possible before Facebook.
Let's leave it there, Morris. Happy birthday for a couple of days ago to Facebook. We'll be back and on. Yeah, Morris, take care for now, all the way from St Kilda in Melbs. Lovely.